一无所有了。
没有。They wanna know.
Hey.
没有。
Hey.
没有。
To be famous.
Welcome to Who Weekly, the podcast where you'll learn everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. I'm Bobby Finger.
I'm Lindsay Weber.
And here's an exclusive from the Scottish Sun. Nicole Scherzinger accused of taking poppers during a wild night out at gay bar.
Incredible.
Would you take poppers with Sam Smith and Nicole Scherzinger at a gay bar in Scotland?
I mean, if they were, sure. Yeah. Do our listeners know what poppers are? I mean, it's not really...
Do our listeners know what poppers are? Maybe Pod Save America listeners don't know what poppers are, but I think our listeners know what poppers are.
This headline is very accusatory when poppers are not really the most... I wouldn't get up in arms about poppers being taken around me. I wouldn't really... It's not really something that would offend me so deeply. I just love this because I just put on a microphone a pop filter. Installed a pop filter just in time to talk about poppers on the Who Weekly podcast.
That's good.
Peter picked a popper. Peter popped some poppers at the gay bar with Nicole Scherzinger.
And Sam Smith.
The article, the Scottish Sun, reported, one clubber posted a picture of himself with Nicole online, writing, "Last night was so weird. I ended up caught between Nicole Scherzinger and her fit rugby boyfriend and Sam Smith. He said that the friends began offering their poppers around, and he added, I got to sniff the same bottle that Nicole used." What? What? I would sniff Nicole's popper bottle just so I could say I did.
Sure. Sure.
Popper bottle.
Who wouldn't, honestly? It's funny that, like, Nicole's the draw and not Sam Smith.
Apparently. The Sun...
If Sam Smith offered me poppers, I'd be like, thank you, no. If Nicole Scherzinger offered me poppers, I'd be like, that's so nice of you.
Thank you so much. Also, the Sun headline, you know, they always do like a pun in the beginning. This one is Nick's Sure Sniffer.
I didn't even notice that.
Nick's Sure Sniffer. X Factor's Nicole Scherzinger sniffed poppers during wild night out at gay bar with beau Tom Evans. And Nicole hasn't really, we haven't talked about Nicole, but she is nonstop in British tabloids because she has, like, hit on, dated, flirted with different contestants that have been on X Factor recently. And this one, Tom Evans, who is rugby fit, but I don't know if he plays rugby because
just a model. But, you know, he's a rugby player, but he's also a model.
Well, he's in this band called TriStar that tried out for the X Factor, and she kicked them off the show. And it says, at the time, she made the decision because she was struggling with people scrutinizing and mocking their romance. And Ina Insider said, Nicole's really into Tom. She didn't want to be the jokes be made about them. But, like, also then I listened to the band and,
are they good?
My Bobby, have you clicked this link yet?
No.
Click the link next to Here They Are. My feet go boom, boom, boom.
Oh my God, they're too old to be doing this. They can't dance either. Oh no.
This group came in fifth place.
That's
insane. And also, this reminds me, the reason why they were even allowed in this competition in the first place was because this was X Factor Celebrity. So they were all already famous footballers rugby players that got together and made this group that was in the competition, which is why, this is now making sense. Nicole is dating this hot rugby guy who competed with other hot rugby guys in Celebrity. So it makes sense that she would date this, like, already famous hot man, right? Yes, 100%.
Yeah, okay. Sure.
Got it.
Oh, but this guy modeled nude once.
He was also click. He also was in another boy band called 24/7, but spelled TWEN2Y47, like the movie.
Oh, what's in the box?
Like SE7EN.
Yes, and the best part about that is
the
that
7-Eleven.
If you try and click the name of the band on Wikipedia, there's no page for 27. They didn't get.
Well, did you click the Wikipedia for him that I just sent you?
Yes, that's why I'm like currently open scrolling.
Open it on desktop. Also, he has the iconic background where it's like he got hurt playing his sport, so he had to do something else.
Right.
Which that's why he started mumbling and singing.
Yeah.
But so go onto the right where it says Tom Evans and it has his hunky little picture. And then it says, born in Zimbabwe, height 6'2".
I know what you're going towards.
Wait. Hover. It says notable relatives, Max Evans and Chris Evans' cousin. And I was like,
Evans.
Oh, hover. Just hover over Chris Evans. Just
not,
hover over.
It's not the same Chris Evans.
The photo that they chose for this Chris Evans is like the polar opposite of our Chris Evans. Of American Chris
but
Evans.
But this Chris Evans shocking. Is definitely a thing.
He's very famous.
He is a famous radio guy.
DJ. Yeah. He's very famous. He's just not top of mind Chris Evans.
You had the breakfast show on Radio 1.
Yeah.
Okay, which is the biggest show on Radio 1.
Yes.
Okay, just like you've now got the breakfast show on Radio 2, which is the biggest show on Radio 2.
Yes.
But you had that breakfast show, and you're doing that show, and you, so most people think, okay, I've arrived. And obviously there's a finite period you can do that for, but most people will be satisfied with that, I think. Obviously you're not most people. So what went on in your head that you decided, okay, this is now what? Did it get boring? Did it not excite you anymore?
Look, it's not coal mining, it's not nursing, it's not saving lives, but it was a lot of work, a lot of hours, and it had been going on for years and years and years.
Wait, whoa. That Chris Evans was married to Billie Piper, the actress.
Oh.
Who I saw. Oh, my God. That's so funny. He was married to Billie Piper.
I said,
oh,
but I don't know who she is.
She's from Secret Diary of a Call Girl, Penny Dreadful.
Oh.
Doctor Who. She was in that show Yerma that got really good reviews last year in New York. Oh. She's like she's really good. I think she had a music career in which she was called Billie. This is like British.
The only mononymous B music career that I stand is Betsy. So
stop.
I can't
don't
really talk
Betsy
about Billie.
Here. She had a number one hit with Because We Want To by Billy. This is hilarious. Okay, wow. It's like, I feel like we come to these things in British people like, da, 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 da.
I love a song that begins on a 9, you know?
Yeah.
The song has too much to say to like slowly build to a climax.
Okay.
It's like, why you gotta play?
Yeah, it's good.
It's like,
so now
you start all the way up there. Good for her. I like Billy.
That Billie Piper's
Billy like Eilish
husband, Billy like the razor Chris's blades. Brother Tom did poppers with Nicole Scherzinger at the club at 4:30 a.m. Bingo. Slam dunk.
You won the game. You won Clue.
Slam dunk.
You won like gay Clue.
I won like a gay British Clue. Okay.
Gay British Clue.
Finally, Nicole Scherzinger is relevant to something. That's what's funny about this. It's like we found a way to like care about Nicole Scherzinger.
Mm-hmm. Andrew Lloyd Webber is like, I've cared about her for years.
Nicole's probably having a hard week because Cats comes out this week in America, and she's not in it, even though
she doesn't want to be in it.
Yes, she, Bobby, you don't think that Nicole Scherzinger, who literally is maybe the second most known person for singing the memory, aside from the person who originated it, is mad that she is not included in Cats as
I
something?
I think that once this movie comes out and is completely lambasted and ridiculed, she is going to think, wow, I dodged a bullet. And then she's going to do more poppers.
Nicole Scherzinger is going to need like so many bottles of poppers this week to get through Cats.
Although I will say, you don't necessarily do poppers with Sam Smith when you're in a good place. But
that's what I'm saying.
Maybe that's me being rude. I think that this movie is going to be dumped on to an extent that like will make Nicole like feel really relieved.
But don't you think it's going to make so much money? It doesn't even matter how it's going to be dumped on. No,
I don't think it's going to make all that much money either.
Okay, well, I'll see you at the end of the week.
See you at the end of the week. You know where I won't see you? At a screening of Cats.
Tonight is a magical night where I choose the cat that deserves a new life.
Going to the ball could get dangerous.
Derek Blasberg has an imposter who is, I would say, a genius.
The only reason why this is notable is because Derek Blasberg is the perfect person to impersonate.
And we've talked about a version of this. We still get calls about it where people say, you know, this is the name you should use when you're trying to book a table.
Oh, yeah, people always tell us
this. We get a lot
of
calls from servers and hosts who have dealt with this in the past where they've like prepped for a celebrity or like quietly been excited to see a celebrity who doesn't come. Which I love people calling about this stuff, but like this is sort of takes it to a new level. This is just full on being an imposter, but being an imposter is so hard.
But like, not being an imposter, hard. This person is doing what you're saying just on a multiple level basis. Like they're not, they're doing essentially the dinner reservation thing, but they're doing it again and again and again for parties, you know? Mm-hmm.
But one of them is pretending to be Derek.
Really? They're not just showing up. No, they're showing up and they're saying we're Derek's friends.
Yeah, they're saying, but he, but it's like there's a
Derek email.
There's a Derek and then two plus ones.
But the thing is, the people who show up say we're Derek's, like they'd say like, oh, actually we're with Derek Blasberg, like he's late. So we're just going to grab and like go in.
Oh,
so
I thought that they went with the imposter as well, but they're just being the plus ones. Oh no, did we give people this idea?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I just realized that we've done. So it says.
We're going to find out that they're hooligans.
It says the faux Blasberg always asks to add the same two plus ones. I think they mean this email. So it's like somebody made an email that's like Derek Blasberg, like with the A as the at sign, or like Derek Blasberg with like two R's, you know, at gmail.com. And they email and they're like, hey, I'm Miami Art Basel. I'm Derek Blasberg. Like, hi, whatever. I'm trying to get into this like Gucci, whatever. I have two plus ones. Like, is that okay? And they're like, sure, Derek. We love you, Derek. And then the plus ones come in and they're like, Derek's taking a huge shit. He'll be like here in a week. We're going to go in first, but like he'll be here soon. They're like, oh, whatever. We love it. Okay, fine. You know?
What's funny is that they're like trying to catch these people, but they definitely, like, this is a short term con. They never intended to do it beyond Art Basel, right? Like,
of course not.
They would have, they're smart enough to A, know to use Derek Blasberg, and also B, realize that this is a short-lived thing. And also, is this technically illegal? No, they're not. They're going to get away with this.
Of course.
Fine.
And it's also
they'll write
just,
something for the cut.
I mean, how boring is Art Basel coverage? You know, it's just a list of names at different parties. There's no interesting. The only interesting thing from Art Basel this year was that banana, which actually was surprisingly notable considering how boring it usually is. You know?
The banana stuck around in the news for a while, a lot longer than I thought it would.
A lot longer than I thought it would, because I think people were really grappling with what the banana meant, which is like interesting.
People were really grappling.
Don't you think?
What the banana meant.
Well, because when he ate the banana, everyone was like, oh, does that mean the banana's like gone? It's like, no, the person who bought
then he ate the banana.
But the idea was that the banana that the person bought is the concept of the banana, because the banana had been being replaced every so many hours because it's a banana. It was going rotten.
Mm-hmm. The person who bought the piece knew that, like, was not annoyed that the artist ate the banana.
Exactly.
It's part of the whole thing.
No. If anything, that brought the banana piece more coverage, which made it more valuable. But people were confused because they were like, well, if he ate the banana, it's over. It's like, no, he didn't actually eat the concept of duct taping a banana to the wall. Mm-hmm. So therefore, it's still valuable. Art is confusing, you know? Ask Derek Blasberg.
I know. I've seen Velvet Blood. I've seen Velvet Buzzsaw. So we get calls about Derek Blasberg a lot, and it's honestly like we've talked about him before. We don't want to answer this, but we can give you a quick primer again in case you forgot. He's basically like, so this title was news to me. As of 2018, he is the head of fashion and beauty partnerships at YouTube. That's some nebulous thing. That could be anything. That title doesn't matter. But you probably know him because he's like the professional best friend. He writes about being best friends with people. He like has access. He wrote three books, which I found out on Wikipedia. Can you name them? Can you name any of them?
No. Why?
No,
would
none
I,
of them?
Why? Yeah.
Because I didn't know he wrote three books.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is called Classy, Exceptional Advice for the Extremely Modern Lady. The other one is, there's only two. The other one is Very Classy, Even More Exceptional Advice for the Extremely Modern Lady. You haven't read either of those?
No, wait. Hold on a second. Now I'm looking at his Wikipedia. He's not even a stylist. I don't even know who he is.
You pass this threshold of like being friends with a few celebrities. You're like in the circle of trust. You are trusted and you can become friends with more of them. And now he's just friends with a lot of famous people. But he's still doing his job, which is head of what? Partnerships and beauty at YouTube?
That's new. What's funny about him, two things I didn't know. He has your birthday. Do you know that?
Oh my God, he has my birthday.
And the other thing is that he worked at Vogue, and he got fired from Vogue after less than a year due to his zealous nature, offending his colleagues and embarrassing the magazine by being linked to tabloid report about an affair with one of the Puenza Schuller designers.
When I was in college, I had all these internships. I worked at Vogue. I worked at W. When I graduated, I had this job at Vogue.
Right.
I worked there for a year. I was fired, which would be the opposite of a break.
Break up.
Yeah. But I think what's interesting about that is that when I was fired from Vogue, it was actually an incredible lesson on how to hustle and have a comeback. When I didn't get jobs I really wanted, you sort of need to dig deeper and find a renewed sense of vigor. You know, we're living at a time now when magazines are not doing super incredibly, yeah. And I went to journalism school.
Right.
And I really thought I was going to work exclusively in magazines for the rest of my career. And now I work at a tech company.
Interesting. So he caused a scandal working as a writer, working as a whatever. Mm-hmm. He got too close to the subjects, which is, you could argue, is his best skill.
That's his whole
currently.
Thing. That's his whole thing.
So how this dynamic 33-year-old, this was in 2015, referred to his friend, the artist Francesco Vasoli, as Truman Capote with social media awareness. Managed to befriend quote-unquote everyone. Such are the cries from his well-heeled peers who have been desperately schmoozing away for years hoping for an invitation to Dasha Zhukova's annual New Year's Eve party on her super yacht in St. Bart's. Blasberg stays every year. Or to receive a coveted invitation to lunch at the New York Society royalty Lauren Santo Domingo's apartment. Man, this is insane. Who else has the kind of people that mere mortals only dream of knowing via their Instagram accounts on his Siri speed dial? Yeah, I mean, he's just like a media personality who's associated himself with fashion and beauty, and he's befriended every single person in the business. He's obviously quite charming, and that's it. He continues to do that. God, he really is more boring than I thought. I thought he was a stylist for so long.
Mm-hmm. He's not that interesting.
Comparing him to Truman Capote is like the nicest thing anyone's ever said of him. He should like frame this article, this Vogue.co.uk article from 2015.
Season's greetings. It's Derek Blasberg, and I'm here to help you get through the holidays with a lot of cheer and hopefully not too many tears. To help me illustrate the do's and don'ts of holiday etiquette, meet my frisky feline friends, the Etiquettes.
Okay, who's next on this doc? I'm obsessed with this. So here's a headline from TMZ. Lori Loughlin, Massimo Giannulli, the $500,000 donation was to USC was legit. And so this is a story about how these new legal docs were revealed or made public. And in them, which I guess TMZ like rifled through all of them, their defense was laid out. So we finally have an idea of what Lori and Massimo are going to tell the courts when they're like, hey, you bribed USC to get your daughter in. They're going to say, no, we didn't. They refer to all of those as, quote, legitimate donations. And they understood them to be legitimate donations. They, quote, did not understand or intend that either set of payments would be used to directly or indirectly bribe the former USC
senior associate
athletic director.
They're going to blame USC.
Yeah, they're going to. And basically it goes on and it says this was not bribery. The payments had become institutionalized. So they're saying that like everyone did it. This is what was expected.
But no. They're going through a third party who has nothing to do with USC in terms of. He doesn't. That guy, the guy they were going through, it does not work for USC, and they were paying him directly, not the.
But they're still saying. I mean, their defense seems insane to me. But the defense, it's still their defense, and it's that everyone did this. This is a sort of institutionalized thing.
Well, that's another argument. Like, this is just a thing that everyone does. Also, let's just remember, Felicity Huffman is done with this shit.
She's paid her debt. She's done her community service. She might not be done with community service, but she's out of jail.
Basically, she's done, right? Her other daughter got into college. She's done. This one, meanwhile, Lori is still in the shit. Olivia Jade still in the shit. Massimo still in the shit. This is like insane that they're dragging this out so much, you know? I mean, either there are some serious, really, really serious charges, or Lori was desperate to not go to jail, like for any amount of time. So desperate to not go to jail that she'll do anything it takes to not go to jail.
Yeah, and once again, one of the reasons this is all taking so much longer than Felicity's is because they have more money. And so when you have a lot of money, you can delay, and that's what they're doing.
That's a good point.
In part. Also, I think their defense is just wild, and it probably needs a lot of work to like back it up and make it happen. Meanwhile, this Us Weekly cover you saw is blowing my mind. When I saw this, I was like,
that's what this is from. This story is basically from this headline.
Well, the Olivia Jade is from this.
Right.
The TMZ stuff is just from legal documents. This Olivia Jade thing is just straight up. Like, I'm looking at this and I'm like, oh, you just got even more famous than you were. This is the best thing that's ever happened to you.
So Olivia Jade came out with her, you know, we talked about this, the YouTube video that was like, I'm back and I can't talk about this and blah, blah.
I miss you guys so much.
Us Weekly writes, Olivia Jade's being advised what she can and can't share on YouTube, which is something that she actually says in the YouTube. So I don't know if this isn't really news. Do you know what I mean? This is not.
Right. This is just classic tabloid shit.
She said, oh, I can't really say what I, you know, I really can't say everything. I'm still like, we're trying to respect whatever, da, da, da.
They're using direct quotes as like, they're presenting them as exclusives or something.
Right. But then this source says Olivia's lawyer is providing counsel as to what content and topics Olivia can safely discuss. And then literally this is the story that's on the cover of Us Weekly, I think, last week. And the headline is A Daughter's Revenge. Lori Loughlin Betrayed. What Olivia Jade knew about college cheating scam and why she won't be silenced as her mom faces 60 years in prison. Where is all this information coming from?
She looks like Hailee Steinfeld on the cover, by the way. She looks like a star.
She's huge. Lori's smaller.
Lori's smaller behind her. Lori's like in the shadows like, Olivia, what are you doing? Olivia, what are you doing? Olivia, why do you need revenge on me? You betrayed me, Olivia. You betrayed me.
I know. But also Lori's like, yeah, Olivia, you got on that Us Weekly cover. You got on that.
I understand that like it's not quite fair to compare these stories to everything in the wings. But like to see Olivia Jade's face 5 times as big as Bella Hadid's face, Gigi Hadid's face, and Brad Pitt's face on the cover of Us Weekly is absolutely bonkers.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's
She's
what this
famous.
Is. Was this the plan all along? Were we duped?
Part of me is like, this is the best thing that's ever happened to her.
Right.
She's so happy.
The conspiracy theorist to me is like,
she doesn't have to go to school. She doesn't even have to pretend to go to school anymore.
The whole plan all along was that she did not want to go to school. She doesn't have to go to school. She's more famous than ever. Lori might have to go to jail or pay a bunch of money, but whatever.
But Olivia doesn't care about that.
A
mother's
sacrifice for her daughter.
From the very beginning, Olivia was like, I don't want to go to school. And they were like, no, we're going to pay to get you into school. She got exactly what she wanted.
The only thing that makes me think this is not a big conspiracy that I'm kind of like, okay, well, da, 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 is that it kind of really ruined Lori's career. Like if it didn't fully ruin Lori's, well, we'll see. Time will tell if it actually ruined Lori's career. But it's so severe that it makes me think this is not something that she would do on purpose because like the threat of that is really, you know,
intense. I don't actually think anyone's playing the long game here. I don't actually think it's a conspiracy, do think Olivia is not upset about it.
Oh, she's not mad.
She's working with people, I'm sure, who are trying to figure out how to
frame
this as
something
that is going to like be good for her career.
She's
and I think
make
it will
the
work.
Best. She's going to make the best of this situation now. Now we're in a situation and we're going to make the best of the situation.
She's a victim. She didn't know. She's a victim.
She definitely didn't know. I don't think she knew.
I don't think she knows a lot of things. No offense.
That's what I'm saying. Okay, we've talked about this before. Okay.
I've missed you guys so much, and I'm just really excited to start filming again. And
this morning, Olivia Giannulli is back online.
Obviously, I've been gone for really long time.
For the first time, addressing the college admission scandal that has engulfed dozens of privileged parents, including her own, actress Lori Loughlin and her fashion designer husband, Massimo Giannulli.
I'm legally not allowed to speak on anything going on right now.
The 2-minute video, posted on her YouTube channel and seen over 500,000 times, comes after several months of silence.
Really like just because of the web that you fall into really quickly. Did you see this?
You really took this to a place.
So I was like, okay, I'm looking at Just Jared, as you know, we are wont to do on Sunday afternoons. And I saw this headline, Jennifer Lawrence dances to Mariah Carey at Paul Arnold's birthday party in NYC. So I'm like, I didn't see this. Also, wow, Jennifer Lawrence is like at another person's party. I don't know this person. Is this one of maybe Cook Maroney's art friends or something? I've never heard this name, Paul Arnold. And so the lead is 29-year-old Hunger Games star actress was in attendance to celebrate renowned glassblower artist Paul Arnold's 35th birthday party at Indochine on Saturday night in New York City. And I'm like, wait, renowned glassblower artist?
Yeah.
So I click him. I've never heard of him. That's a very strange title. I go to his Instagram. He only has like 2,000 followers. And I'm like,
but are you big in the glassblower scene? How
no,
would you
but
know?
I'm just like, that's not a very big following, like for like a renowned glassblower artist. I thought maybe a glassblower artist who was really famous would have more than that.
Stop
whatever.
Saying glassblower
whatever. Artist. Then I go to his website and I find his photo and I see a photo of him and I'm like, oh, he's just like a hunk. Like, look at him. Like, he looks like some like brunette gay glassblower hunk. Okay.
Yeah. Well, there's got to be glassblower hunks. There's hunks in every category.
Everything's making sense, right? I'm like, okay, it makes sense that Jennifer Lawrence is friends with this like gay glassblower hunk, which is an art form. Okay, great. So it is an artist in a way.
But in like, a way.
But then
he's an artist.
I don't know. I don't mean to be rude. Glassblowing.
He's an
huge
artist.
Art.
Okay.
I could never.
Stop it.
But as Lindsay and I often have learned, well, not often, as Lindsay and I have learned, never think you have the full story. Always do one more Google.
Yeah, you got to do one more Google.
Our biggest mistake is always when we don't do one more Google.
One more Google.
So I did one more Google and I found out that he's married. Uh-huh. And he's married to this guy named, let me get the name right. He's married to this guy named Wes Gordon. I'd never heard of this person, but I was like, oh, he's a fashion designer and he's covered in Vogue constantly. So like their wedding was covered in Vogue. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, so the husband's more famous. The husband has more money. The husband's more successful. Interesting. Maybe that's how Jennifer Lawrence met him, because maybe he designed something of Jennifer's and then she met the husband and she was like, I love gay people. And he's like, oh my God,
glass.
I love Jennifer Lawrence.
She loves glass.
So,
but who doesn't love glass blowing? It's fascinating.
Then you start reading up on Wes Gordon. And guess what? This brings it all back to the Hooniverse. Guess what he designed? The Oscar dress that Glenn Close lost in.
Oh my God.
Which is, to be
it's
fair,
cursed.
A lot of Oscar dresses.
So you're saying he designed the wife's losing dress.
He designed the dress that he thought Glenn would win in.
But then the wife lost.
And then the wife lost.
Olivia Colman. This is the first Oscar and
is.
Isn't that something?
Cursed.
Jennifer,
it's definitely something.
Jennifer Lawrence dances to Mariah Carey at husband of designer, glassblower husband of designer of Glenn Close's failed Oscar dress at birthday party in NYC. That's the headline.
It always comes back to Glenn Close losing that Oscar. Everything comes back.
It will forever until the end of time.
Forever. And honestly, that dress will follow around Glenn. It will follow around this glass blower. It'll follow around Jennifer Lawrence, for all I'm concerned, you know?
What's that movie Annabelle about the doll?
Yes,
the cursed
it's
doll?
The dress.
This dress.
Cursed.
Blumhouse presents the dress.
Everything you see in here is either haunted, cursed, or has been used in some kind of ritualistic practice. Nothing's a toy. It's safer for these things to be in here than out there. Sometimes it's better to keep the genie in the bottle.
You who wear me will know me.
What's that supposed to mean?
It's just a cheap bit of mystery.
I think something's wrong with that dress.
Don't tell me you're scared of a dress.
You're gonna put this dress on and it's gonna ruin your life. But only in like a weird superficial way that has to do with ego.
Well, you know.
Like, you're not going to die, but like you will feel completely
terrible.
Destroyed by like, you know.
You'll feel bad.
Your industry.
So, yeah, I still cannot believe that she dressed in gold. Like she was going to win the gold Oscar. Like, I look like the Oscar. I'm going to win the Oscar. And then she didn't win the. Oh my God. I would just.
It's the icing on the cake, truly. It's the icing on the wife.
Glenn does not deserve this. Still, I'm traumatized for her by this by this happenstance.
Tell me about yourself. Do you have an occupation?
I do.
And what is that?
I am a kingmaker.
Lindsay, what quince did you get when we got some quince promo?
I got sheets.
Me too.
I got beautiful sheets. Beautiful sheets.
Oh, wait. No, I didn't. I lied. I got a duvet cover. Same thing, though.
A friend of mine reached out and said, you know how you say on the quince ad that you have 365 days for returns? I once used that feature and it was incredible. It was so easy and great. And I said, wow, that's so nice to hear, because Quince offers free shipping and 365-day returns. And that's part of one of their many offerings, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry.
Oh, yeah, you're obsessed with the washable silk tops.
It's hard to... Washing silk is a pain in the tush.
Normally. From Quince.
Normally.
And all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands because they partner directly with top factories that can cut the cost of the middleman and pass the savings right on to me, Lindsay, and you. And they only work with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. We love that. So indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/who for free shipping on your order. And as she said, 365-day returns. That's quince.com/who to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/who. Looking for an apartment sucks wherever you live. People in New York will say, oh, it's so hard to find an apartment here. It's hard to find an apartment anywhere. It stinks. You have your mandatories. You have the things that you won't compromise on. You have the things that you don't care about. Like, let's say, I need a dishwasher. I need a dishwasher. I can't live without a dishwasher. I don't care if I don't have a washer and dryer. Some people feel the exact opposite. Some people don't need any amenities. Some people need an elevator. Some people don't.
That's so beautiful. We all need different things. And that's why Apartments.com has an app where you can literally use it to tell it what you need and what you don't need. And it tells you, oh, apartments. Here's some.
So instead of looking through every single rental listing you possibly can in the neighborhoods you want, you set and forget, like in that old rotisserie grill ad, you set and forget what you want. And Apartments.com will let you know when an apartment that matches what you want appears on the market.
From pet-friendly apartments to balconies to in-unit ACs, Apartments.com's powerful search tools let you know when the perfect combination of features you're seeking are listed. So you don't have to power through rental descriptions one by one. With more rental listings than anywhere else, Apartments.com's instant alerts mean you can spend less time online looking for the perfect place and more time doing you.
Apartments.com, the place to find a place. What's next on this hell list?
Amazing.
Oh, God, I hate this so much.
This is incredible. I don't know where this came from.
Just Jared.
Just Jared. We have guessed that Just Jared is copy-pasting emails directly into their CMS for a while now. I mean, without fail, they are
and
just...
changing a few letters and a few words.
Barely. I'm thinking these publicists are writing the articles. They're just writing it in the tenses that need to happen. Then Just Jared's like, thank you, and just copying and pasting. Because not only did I see one article about this party that from this woman I've never heard of, there are two articles about this party that are over 400 words long that just list off items that existed at the party. Let me read you. The first one... you could tell was a reach, and then they got a little bit more. Like, they reached with this one, and then they were like, they got more confident. Chase Crawford snacks on Shake Shack at producer Jennifer Klein's holiday party. Accompanied by 4 to 5 photos of Chase Crawford eating a burger while walking. Okay? In that article, here is what they wrote. Stars like Dave Annabelle, Frank Grillo also indulged in the treats at the party, and some guests enjoyed the coffee bean and tea leaf stand where they grabbed hot beverages to warm up on the chilly LA night. Those wanting an extra kick to their coffee tried the new alcohol-infused cold brew coffee from Bomani. Justin wines were passed around the party, and guests also sipped on Le Grand Courtage sparkling wine. Another cool drink that was passed around was Good Days CBD-infused coffee. Guests mixed drinks at the bar with Spindrift sparkling water. While at the event, all partygoers were treated to Health Aid kombucha to go. I mean, how many drinks were served at this party?
That is in terms of brand density, this is like the most bustling metropolis of SponCon I've ever
seen. It gets worse. It gets worse. First of all, who is Jennifer Klein? Do we know this?
I went to her IMDb earlier and I was like, is there a producer named Jennifer Klein? And I found one. But it's wild because it's like she's only produced Pearl Harbor and a bunch of movies I've never heard of. So it's like, is this the right person? I don't know.
But I'm okay. So I just got to an article by searching Jennifer Klein, which was for Hollywood Women, the most exclusive invite of the year isn't an award show. It takes place in an LA living room. And it's Jennifer Klein's party. This is one of the best days of the year, Kristen Bell says gleefully, while Gabrielle Union pulls a filled chocolate from one of the many golden bowls placed around the sun-streaked living room. What's inside, I asked her. Magic, she says, laughing. Bell and Union are mingling with dozens of other power women at what's known to its high-profile guest list as the Day of Indulgence, film and TV producer Jennifer Klein's annual event to pamper and connect Hollywood women.
Okay, I'm sorry. When you scroll through the photos in this article, there are no photos of Jennifer Klein. And the reason I know this is because I can name every single woman in this photo.
Right.
In these photos.
Yes.
I can name every single woman in these photos, and none of them are Jennifer Klein. Oh, right. Chrissy Metz, Rachel Bloom. Oh, Retta. Oh, Laverne Cox. I'm going through everything. Molly Shannon, Elizabeth Olsen, Kristen Bell, Mandy Moore, Camilla Alves,
Jennifer Love
Lily
Hewitt,
Reinhardt.
With Kaley Cuoco.
With Kaley Cuoco. And then three, Madeline Petsch. Oh, you know who there's? Oh, Gabrielle Union. There's a woman in the background who I can't look at her. She's behind Madeline Petsch. This could be her. But the point is, she's not the point of these parties.
So these parties have been thrown for 20 years in 2018. So they've been over 20 years of throwing this party in which Jennifer Klein somehow gets these A-list people to come to her house and literally try products. It's all products.
So it's meant, so it's a completely sponsored, promoted event.
Yes. Wait, I'm not even done with what I, from this year's, another headline in Just Jared, obviously copy-paste from a PR press release. Zoe Deutsch and Jennifer Morrison celebrate the holidays at Jennifer Klein's annual party. Will you read the below this?
Just, oh, sure.
Just, I don't, I mean, I don't know. Read as much of this
Zoe
as you want.
Zoe was seen meeting up with longtime pal and frequent co-star Glenn Powell, who's in the trailer for the Top Gun sequel that dropped today,
sure
as well
is.
As Abigail Spencer, Cord Overstreet, and more. Matt, imagine being Anne Moore after Cord Overstreet.
Wait,
that's so debasing.
Wait, it gets worse. The next sentence
they all
even
caught
worse.
Up while standing around the Chipotle table where guests made custom tacos. Jennifer and her This Is Us co-star Justin Hartley were among the many stars at the event, where other guests included Shiri Appleby, Gina Carano, Scott Foley, Topher Grace, Kelsey Grammer, and Leslie Mann and Judd Apatow. Leslie's daughter, Maude Apatow, showed up at the party with her Euphoria co-star, Jacob Elordi. He was spotted leaving the event with a bottle of essential water.
It gets worse.
Station 19's Jaina Lee Ortiz and many other stars stocked up on the many sweets that were available to take home, like Brookside Chocolate, Core Bars. This is the Chloe 7U sketch.
Core Bars.
Like Brookside Chocolate, Core Bars, Barney Butter Snack Packs, Suja Wellness Shots, Tichos Holiday Theme Bars like Peppermint Mocha and Eggnog, and The Plugs Hangover Drink.
Good evening, America. I'm Chloe Sevigny. It's recently come to my attention that I appreciate azazeries. Last season, I chanced upon the second annual sesquicentennial rare book burning and tea dance, sponsored by Absolute Orient Apple, Kyu Sera water-based ballpoint pens, and tuna. I accidentally slid into Brendan Sexton III. He was wearing glow-in-the-dark riding pants by Naked and Famous, porcelain mouth attire from his personal collection, and a button-down by Gant. Despite the fact that I was wearing a stymied halter by Maria Cornejo and a side-zip bridge by Yumi, he simply said to me, "Nice accessories."
We need Drew Drogi to read these entire articles. Drew, if you listen to the podcast, just call in and read these. As Chloe.
Oh, my.
It's really good. And it's at some, like, boring-ass house. Wow.
Wow.
What a party.
What a party.
We should go. But I'm looking at her IMDb, like, is this the right Jessica Klein?
It's gotta be.
So she's just some old-school Hollywood producer.
I guess.
Because there's a People story that says inside Jennifer Klein's annual day of indulgence as well.
I'm telling you, it's the same
woman.
And
do you know what the slug is? Do you know what the slug is?
What?
People.com/style/... Lily-Reinhardt-Leah-Michelle-Anna-Ferris-Day-of-indulgence.
Well, lead with the stars.
They come with gigantic luggage, Lindsay.
To stock up on free garbage.
I can't tell if they were given the luggage free, like they had like an away sponsorship, if they show up with the luggage so that they can lug it all home.
This is actually the first party that I respect.
Do you think that's free? The Weekender bag is clearly new because it has the tag, but the other luggage...
Oh my God, they show up with luggage to put the shit in?
It might be free. To be fair, it might be free luggage, but still, you leave with luggage so you can fill the luggage with all your crap.
I respect that. This is the first party that's actually been honest about its intentions. Shove all of these CBD chocolates into my fucking away bag and off I go. Bye-bye.
Now I'm imagining you getting home and like throwing the luggage onto your couch and unzipping it and being like, want some chocolates?
Yeah.
Oh my God, it would be full of stuff. And it would be full of all the stuff that the celebrities don't want. Oh my God, I would have a field day there because there's so much crap they wouldn't be eating or drinking.
Yeah, and I'm like, throw it in my bag, sweeties. Okay.
Throw it in my bag. You have any spare ones? You were giving away aways. Could I have two of the aways? The bigger carry-ons, please? I'm going to need to fit all these chocolates.
They'd be like, who are you? I'd be like, don't worry about it. I'm here. We're actually Derek Blasberg's plus ones. Yes, I'm his plus one, and that's his other plus one. And we will be taking 45 gallons of this essential water.
And they're like, I haven't heard of you. Is there another way you could prove your identity? And we're like, we did poppers with Nicole Scherzinger and Sam Smith last night. Is that proof for you?
Is that enough proof for you?
Look at this article. It says sources say we are the sources. And they're like, carry on, madam.
literally carry chocolates. On. Just take your carry on. Okay. Moving on.
I first discovered my admiration for King's Hawaiian sweetbread at the first annual Memorial for Ideas, sponsored by Acura, Prilosec, and Go-Gurt Squirts. I was seated next to Tinsley Mortimer and her plus one.
Do we want to talk about Rachel Drew?
Not really, but I...
we can do it in 1 minute.
This was a funny bit, though, because she was so adamant about this, and then everybody was like, no.
Rachel, calm down. Rachel, stop.
Rachel True of the craft fame. That's it, right?
It is better that you should rush upon this blade and enter the circle with fear in your heart. How do you enter?
With perfect love and perfect trust.
Yes.
Right?
She's the one who gets into... That's really all I know her from. She reads tarot cards in LA, like, somewhere. She is the character in The Craft who gets racially bullied by Christine Taylor and gets her revenge by making Christine Taylor bald.
Mm-hmm.
She was on a flight. On a JetBlue flight.
She was in Sharknado 2 and Sharknado 3. And
so,
I'm
as I said,
Sharknado
she's
1.
Only in The Craft. and she was in the window seat of a JetBlue flight. And she was flying from LAX to New York. And as far as I could tell, she was taking the terrible route, which I have taken before, LAX to Buffalo and then to New York, which is truly like hell on earth.
Like,
that's the route I was on
enough.
When I was on the flight with William Fitchner. So it was already misery enough.
It's
right?
already enough misery. I get
you
where
have
she's
this layover in Buffalo
from.
And no offense to Buffalo. That is the worst airport. Oh my God. There's like one restaurant. There's nowhere to sit. It's the worst. It's so cold. No offense to Buffalo. So,
to be fair, no offense to Buffalo. New York has the second worst and third worst airports. So
No, New York airports are worse than Buffalo, honestly. But but the thing about any flight like this, like
New York
if
City.
You've flown a flight with connecting flights, the most like psychologically damaging part about a connecting flight if it's at the end. Because sometimes connecting flights are in the middle, but sometimes connecting flights are at the end.
Okay,
so it's like you fly 6 hours and then you have to wait for a layover and then you fly 30 minutes to your final destination.
Right,
anyway,
but that's
so
not what happened to
she's
Rachel
in a bad
True.
Place. She's in a bad place. So Rachel True is already annoyed because she has to fly to Buffalo first, and she's in the window seat, and there is a woman in the middle seat. Rachel calls her Karen. I don't even think her name was Karen. I think Rachel's just being funny because it's a white
Rachel's
lady.
Just being funny.
And so Karen's in the middle seat, Rachel's in the window seat, no one's in the aisle seat, and she apparently, according to her tweets, was like, excuse me, Karen, would you mind moving to the aisle seat because no one's there, then we could have a seat between us. I doubt she was that polite, even though that's not even a polite thing to ask. Karen was like, thank you, no, and put on her headphones. Karen wanted to be in the middle seat, shoulder to shoulder with Rachel True. So Rachel True
was she
did
a big
Twitter
fan
thread.
Of The Craft? Was she a big fan of Sharknado the sequel? We'll never know.
She threaded and she said, never been on a flight where the middle seat stranger refuses to move to the empty aisle seat. Meet Karen. Karen calls steward. Also, celebrities having weird antiquated terminology for flight attendants is like, will never not be funny.
Yeah.
Karen calls steward and said, also, Rachel Drew is not old enough to be calling people a steward. Karen calls steward and says, I was, quote, harassing her, dot, 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 for asking her to slide over, dot, 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 into the empty seat, dot, 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 that would separate her from me. Hashtag get out. Get out my lap, Karen. The thread goes on to say that, like, Karen was watching a show on her seatback TV.
This gets even more weird.
And I guess Rachel True knew one of the actors on the show Karen was watching, and Rachel True texted the actor mid-flight and was like, LOL, this woman Karen is pissing me off and she's watching you. Like, what does that text conversation even look like? What show do we guess she was watching? Like, Blue Bloods, like NCIS, like Law and Order.
Something truly like
one
Rachel
of those shows
True,
that's been on 1 million years.
It's just weird because Rachel True is like conflating a lot of her experience with things that are just not really appropriate in terms of like what she's experiencing. You know, she's like hashtag get out, you know, like the movie of my lap, meaning this woman is just sitting next to her. Is it kind of silly that this woman wouldn't move over a seat? Sure, obviously. But is this woman allowed to sit in the seat that she paid for? Yes.
Yeah.
Of course. It's a plane. You're supposed to be uncomfortable. It's a plane.
That's what I'm saying. There's no such thing as a good flight. And in the world of like terrible things to happen to you on a flight, this is so low level. Like, this is such a nothing thing.
Right. Right.
But would I complain about it? I would complain to all my friends about it. I would be like, can you believe I was on a flight and this woman wouldn't move over?
So weird. But would you tweet about it?
Never thread about something that's happening to you on a plane unless you are literally being hijacked. I'm sorry. You do not get to thread unless you are in imminent danger.
Right. And she's basically being in her replies. People are like, she paid for her seat. Maybe she didn't want to sit in the aisle. How is that so hard to believe?
And some people are like, they don't want to get, and they're posting the Wedding Singer gif with Drew Barrymore getting mashed in the elbow by the cart. Right. It's like, maybe she didn't want to get mashed in the elbow by the cart. That's true. I personally always take an aisle. I don't care. I have to have an aisle.
No, I understand that. But it's just so funny that her reaction is so overblown when you're right. It's just a story that you would tell your friend as just like a weird offhand. Can you believe that this woman like wouldn't move over one seat? Like, it's so funny that I had to, you know, we could have had this empty seat. Mm-hmm. Instead, she's literally like accusing the woman of sitting in her lap, being in her space. And
the funniest thing about this, though, I will say, I just started thinking about it. I gave it like 1 ounce of thought.
1 ounce?
Karen complains that Rachel True is harassing her, right?
Her name isn't Karen. Also, the other thing that really bothers me is she posted a picture of Karen.
Yeah, I don't like
that. And that's really
at least
not,
cover up the face. Yeah.
That's not fair. Yeah.
What you do is you put the little clown emoji over the face of the person that you're lampooning.
Put the clown emoji.
That's what you do.
Put the clown emoji.
I will say, it's weird to me that like, if I were sitting next to Rachel True and Rachel True were getting on my case and I were like, oh my God, Rachel True was harassing me. Like, if I were under the impression that Rachel True was harassing me.
Right.
I would move over. I'd be like, I don't want to sit next to the person who's around. Like, it's weird that Karen
didn't just
move for the simple fact that she couldn't stand Rachel True, you know?
You'd be like, this woman who was on The Craft is really just
pissing
annoying
me.
Yeah.
I don't want to rub shoulders with someone who's pissing me off. All these who's being like, what a nightmare, Rachel. This thread is really a nightmare.
It's cursed. I know. It's cursed. And then there are normal people being like, can you just like relax, you know?
The video that she posted of her at her layover in Buffalo is it's like triggering.
Like, both of these women have to lay over in Buffalo. Isn't that enough?
So let me make this clear. I didn't expect Karen to move just because I asked her. I expected Karen to move because she said she would twice, and then she didn't. And by the third time, when I said, are you going to move? She said, she just flipped out. She was like, you keep asking me, and immediately pressed for a stewardess twice. She called the stewardess steward on me. And here's the thing. Don't fucking call the authority on a black person unless it's serious. And I don't care if that's on the air or in the ground. Karen just could have turned to me and said, I don't want to sit in the aisle. Karen didn't say that. Karen was a goddamn bitch.
What is next? Daily Mail confuses Kerry Washington for Zoe Kravitz. This is from page 6, and their lead is just simply, yikes.
Yeah, I agree. And am I surprised? No. No.
No, I'm not surprised.
Nopes. It's ridiculous.
It's very ridiculous.
But also,
I just like,
it's very repeated, like, because how many captions they have. It's like they repeat it over and over again. It's very
That's
funny.
The thing about the Daily Mail. When you make a mistake, you make the mistake over and over and over and over and over and over again. Oh, I have a dumb game for you.
Yeah, what? You do?
I have a game for you, Lindsay.
What's the game?
It's called, where'd you get that caption?
Oh, no. Oh, no. It's a Daily Mail game?
So, Daily Mail. Okay. You know we love Daily Mail headlines. You can just read a Daily Mail headline and like be satisfied. You don't even have to read the rest of it. But also the captions are great. We love the Daily Mail captions. So, I made a game and I'm going to read you a caption and I'm going to see if you can tell me who the story is about. And if the story is about two people, I just need one person. And so I took a sort of like a caption that's very vague and a caption that includes a little more information. And I'm going to read you the hard one first, and you can, there's no multiple choice. I'm going to read you the hard one first, and if you need more help, then I'll read you the second caption with a little more information, and you can just tell me if you know who the story is about, and then I'll read you the headline at the end of it. How's that?
Okay.
Make sense? Okay.
Sure.
Question one. This is the hard one. Casual, colon. The singer and actress, 38, added equally bright red Nike trainers and carried a patterned shoulder purse. Her hair was worn in a ponytail, and she sported silver hoop earrings. Who is that about?
How am I supposed to know who this is about?
A 38-year-old singer and actress.
That's the only clue that I get, is a 38-year-old singer and actress?
Okay, then you get the second clue. Hands on, colon. Blank has been focusing on her food truck business, which specializes in deep fried pastries dusted with powdered sugar that
Christina
hail from
Million.
New Orleans. Yes. The headline is, pregnant Christina Milian keeps it casual in baggy red tracksuit as she visits her beignet box food truck in LA.
That's good. That's good.
I just sent you an incredible photo of Christina Milian going into the back of her beignet box.
beep, beep, here I go.
Beep, beep, I'm going into my beignet box. Okay, next question.
I love that when she gets in her box, yeah.
This is wild. Here's the hard one. Nice to meet you, exclamation mark. Beaming with delight, she enthused, quote, hi, friend. I don't have anything for you. Making friends where we go, exclamation mark.
What?
So a lot of this also relies on me assuming that you've been catching up with the Daily Mail lately, and maybe you remember these things. Is this confusing to you?
Yes.
Then I'll have to read the I'll have to read the next one.
Okay.
Keen. Keen. K-E-E-N, not K-E-A-N-E.
Oh, I know this. Okay.
Keen. Colon. The Amy Winehouse statue, created in September 2014 by Scott Eaton, in Staples Market was her fourth stop, where she placed copies between the musician's arms and legs.
It's a musician placing her music in a Amy Winehouse statue?
It's someone placing copies of something in an Amy Winehouse statue's arms and legs.
Why?
I'm going to give you the headline. Emma Watson delights her fellow bookworms as she hides free copies of Little Whippin by famous memorials in London ahead of film adaptation.
She's hiding.
She was sticking
a copy
Little,
of
Women's
Little Women
all over
in an
London.
Amy Winehouse memorial yes. statue.
I was like, "You're so disrespectful."
Well, did you notice Emma Watson has been very absent from a lot of the Little Women press? People think that there's a lot of gossip about that, like that she no one liked her and like she was mad that she wasn't the star and she didn't get a lot of promotion.
Of course, there is.
I've just been reading a lot about it.
Okay. I'm gonna skip these. I'm gonna make them shorter. Okay. Looking good, colon. Blank looked flawless despite the heavy winds as she sported a white sweater with stars on it and a pair of black leggings.
Wait, despite the heavy winds?
Yeah. The headline is about the heavy winds. No idea?
No.
Okay, then let's go to the easier one. New flame, colon. Blank and Luke Brenward got cozy on the sidewalk while waiting for their ride while out in West Hollywood.
How am I supposed to know who Luke Brenward is and who's dating him?
Because he's dating Blank.
Who is he?
Ariel Winter looks refreshed as she braves the wind for a day of self-care in Studio City.
She braved the wind?
She braved the wind. Okay, here we go.
That's
next
really
one.
Funny. She braved the wind.
Braves the wind. Helping save the environment! Exclamation mark. Blank opted for no bag and rather juggled her groceries on Sunday when she was spotted running errands around Los Angeles.
I don't know.
Okay, next one. Casual, colon. She was spotted out for a walk with other women doing community service in Los Angeles after her work was done.
Wait, how does this help me more?
Who just did community service?
Oh, Felicity Huffman?
Felicity Huffman juggles her groceries while husband William H. Macy cruises around L.A. in his Porsche.
Who just did community service is the funniest thing to ask.
Lindsay, who just did community service? You gotta see this photo. Of her juggling groceries. Next one. Bite to eat. Blank snacked on a pickle as she strolled around Disneyland in Anaheim, Southern California on Saturday with her new beau, Austin Wilson.
She ate a pickle?
She snacked on a pickle with her new beau, Austin Wilson.
She snacked on a pickle with her new beau, Austin Wilson. I need the harder one.
Okay. So this is the easier one. So this, it gives away sort of the story of her life. Full of ups and downs, colon. Blank, 27, and Wilson, 25, rode scary roller coasters Space Mountain and the Matterhorn. who's in a new relationship and her life is full of ups and downs. Demi Lovato. Demi Lovato enjoys a date night with her new beau, Austin Wilson, at Disneyland. Okay.
Oh, Austin Wilson. Yes. I forgot his name. I'm sorry.
Okay, sorry.
I forgot his name. I know we talked about him in depth, but, you know, things, they just fly right out of your brain.
Winter chic, blank, perfected the art of travel style Sunday as she cut an androgynous chic winter look at Louis Armstrong New Orleans International Airport. Lindsay, she cut an androgynous chic winter look.
Kristen Stewart?
No, I'm going to give you the other one. Patriotic vibes. This is when she got back. This is when she got back and is in a cab in New York looking out the window. Stop. Patriotic vibes, the brunette beauty appears in Wang's collection 1-2020 campaign, serving patriotic vibes as Lady Liberty. It's her looking out at her billboard.
Patriotic vibes?
Patriotic vibes. Bella Hadid perfects travel style in an androgynous chic winter look as she catches a flight in New Orleans.
Okay.
I love this one.
I would not think of Bella Hadid as like androgynous.
Here's the hard one. Well, you haven't seen her in her androgynous chic winter look, so I don't know. Quote, "Hi guys, this is what my Christmas tree looks like this year," she announced at the start of the clip before letting her followers see the opulent decorations.
Wait, I'm supposed to guess.
"Hi guys, this is what my Christmas tree looks like this year."
Is this Eva Amari Martino?
No, okay, one more. Michael Bublé's recording of Santa Claus Has Come Into Town from his 2011 Christmas album played as blank filmed the tree and mugged for the camera.
That's supposed to give me more of a hint.
Who mugs for the camera with weird music while saying things like, "Hi guys, this is what my Christmas tree looks like this year."
Like,
she loves putting music on her Instagram videos. Britney Spears begs, bullying fans to stop saying, mean things as she dances around Christmas tree and new Instagram video.
It's such a good Instagram video, that one.
It's a real, I thought you'd seen it. Okay.
"Guys, this is what my Christmas tree looks like this year."
Here's the hard one. "Lots to discuss!" Exclamation mark. The group appeared to engage in deep conversation over lunch. You're not going to know who that is, so here's the easy one. This caption is so long. "Mom and Dad, meet blank." The 21-year-old stunner appeared to hit it off with the 29-year-old actor's mother and father as the group got to know each other over a family lunch last Friday. Blank greeted his mom blank with a warm embrace after being introduced to blank to the blank matriarch.
Stop. The blank matriarch?
The Hemsworth matriarch. 29
blank. Oh, it's Liam and his new girlfriend.
Here's the headline. "Is that your new girlfriend? Is that your new girlfriend, Liam? Question mark. Liam Hemsworth, 29, introduces Sydney model Gabriella Brooks, 21, to his parents in Byron Bay amid looming divorce battle with estranged wife Miley Cyrus."
Oh my God.
Okay, and then the last one. "Don't mind me, Work commitments took a back seat on Monday as blank posed in her underwear in a new Instagram snap."
Wait, what?
"Work commitments took a back seat on Monday as blank posed in her underwear in a new Instagram snap."
What's her job? Like,
Lindsay, her job is everything.
Rita?
Rita Ora leaves little to the imagination as she poses in white underwear for a seductive selfie.
But that is her job.
That leads us to...
"What was she wearing? Where was she seen? She posted what on Instagram? She's the Who Queen. Tens of people want to know all about the number one Who. Lindsay, Bobby, tell us now. What's Rita Ora up to?"
Who is this woman?
I sort of got derailed while looking up things about Rita Ora because this headline was too good. The headline is from The Inquisitor, who has been rising the ranks as like the best Rita Ora coverage.
Well, they're
provider.
Just, I mean, it's just gibberish what it's they're gibberish, posting, but it's also, incredible. Yeah.
There's so much of it.
Right.
Rita Ora sizzles an off-the-shoulder look despite being sick. Despite being sick.
She's sick, but she's also hot.
She's so fucking hot and she's sick.
She's also sick.
It's, I love the all the copy. Like, it, this, like, this is like, this is talent. British pop star Rita Ora proved to her 15.6 million Instagram followers that even when she's feeling under the weather, she still looks flawless. The bombshell shared a snap in which she looked gorgeous, although she made a silly face and confessed in the caption that she was sick.
This is like,
and then I love, but I love that everyone writes about Rita Ora, but no one cares about doing the work. This sentence is iconic. Rita included a geotag indicating that the picture was taken in London, but she didn't provide much more context as to where exactly she was.
I don't need to know where exactly she is.
What do you want from her?
We don't need to know that. The picture was cropped closely so Rita's arms weren't clear in the shot. Is that because, do you suspect she doesn't have arms? Is this like you want proof that her arms are available? Are
but
there?
The style showcased her bare shoulders. A hint of cleavage was visible in the ensemble. I feel like, what's the, what is it like singularity whenever,
Yeah, a machine can write. This is like, I feel like we will approach
like, AI we need to be worried about whenever a machine can write a Rita Ora story that we cover on the podcast.
This is coming close though, because this might be written by a robot. I don't know. I just love that. I love that they're like, so you're supposed to be writing this and proving that she has a full body, and then this is what you write to prove that she has a full body. It's like, well, her arms weren't clear, but like I saw her shoulders, so it assumed that they were connected to arms. Okay. The next headline is Daily Mail, who compared to The Inquisitor is like, honestly, you know, the New York Times.
Pulitzer,
at this point.
Yeah. Give it a Pulitzer.
The quote, she was on her fucking phone the whole time. Davina McCall and Jonathan Ross had to be Rita Ora's mummy and daddy while filming The Masked Singer, which is some very interesting dynamics.
It's so rude. It's ageism. It's ageism.
It's ageism. He said, we love Rita, but she was the kid of the team, Jonathan said. She was on her fucking phone the entire time, checking the gram, checking the gram, checking the gram, which sounds like Rita, first of all.
Mm-hmm. Checking the gram.
Sounds like the show
the gram,
was boring. Sounds like the show was boring, and they wait around a lot, so you got to check the gram. The other thing Jonathan Ross calls out Rita for, which is actually all very endearing to me, is he says, she said to me, I've just moved into a new house. I'm looking for a Hoover. Now is not the time to find yourself a Hoover. Excuse
Rita's
me?
At work, and she's trying to buy a vacuum. Like,
she's
let her buy
so
a vacuum.
She's so busy. Let her buy a vacuum in her downtime.
I love that she's buying her own vacuums. She could just outsource this to her assistant.
Maybe she was just lying. She's like, I'm buying a vacuum. Shut up.
I'm buying a vacuum.
Shut up.
No, I believe she's buying a vacuum. Also, I believe that Rita was like fully on the wire cutter. Like, which vacuum should I get? What's the best vacuum? She got the best one. She got the Lux pick. She has enough money. But it's
she has a great vacuum that she's never
using. Here's the thing about Rita that I'm annoyed by. Like, they're being nice to her. Obviously, they're being nice to her. They're like, we love her, but like, she was on her phone the whole time. That's their only complaint? Rita got the job done, okay? It's sort of like, you know, have you ever worked a job? Everyone's worked a job, like the very particular kind of office job where it's like, you have to stay until, you know, your hours are 8 to 7 every day, and you have to stay until 7 even when your work is done.
Mm-hmm.
And you're sort of staying there for no reason. Mm-hmm. And then there are the jobs that are like, you work until you're done, and then you go home. Like, Rita gets the work done. Who cares if she's on her phone in her downtime? You know?
Who cares?
She gets the work done.
Who cares?
No one said, oh, she was a terrible host. She was a terrible something.
While they're filming The Masked Singer, which probably takes forever, and it's just so long. You're waiting around. She's going to buy herself a Hoover. Get off our ass, Jonathan Ross.
Thank you for listening to Who Weekly. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Support us on patreon.com/WhoWeekly. Have a great week. Call us at 619-WHO-THEM. If you have questions, comments, or concerns, we might play them on Friday's episode of Who's There. Bye.
Bye.
You will drain it. Yeah.
I want to be famous.